this is the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And it has a chorus that goes like this. It says, I knowed it, indeed I knowed it, brother, I knowed it, wee, them bones gonna rise again. That's all there is to it, so let's do it together. I knowed it, indeed I knowed it, brother, I knowed it, wee, them bones gonna rise again. Well, the story goes like this. Well, the Lord decided to make a man. Dem bones gonna rise again. So he took a little water and took a little sand. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed, I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. But Adam, he was powerful blue. Dem bones gonna rise again. Lord didn't know just what to do. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed, I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. So he took a little rib from Adam's side. Dem bones gonna rise again. Made Miss Eve to be his bride. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. He put him in a garden fair. Dem bones gonna rise again. Thought they'd be most happy there. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed, I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee, dem bones gonna rise again. Peaches, apples, pears, and such. Dem bones gonna rise again. But this tree here you dare not touch. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed, I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee, dem bones gonna rise again. But into that garden Satan slunk. Dem bones gonna rise again. And at Miss Eve he gave a wonk. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. These apples taste mighty fine. Dem bones gonna rise again. Take one, Miss Eve, the Lord won't mind. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. So she took a pick and she took a pull. Dem bones gonna rise again, till she felt her fig leaf full. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. Next day when the Lord came round, dem bones gonna rise again. Spied them cores all over the ground. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. Adam, who these coals did leave? Dem bones gonna rise again. Twerk me, Lord, must have been Eve. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. Adam, you must leave this place. Dem bones gonna rise again. You'll be working now by the sweat of your face. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. So he took his pick and he took his plow. Dem bones gonna rise again. And that's why we's all working now. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again. To this tale, there ain't much more. Dem bones gonna rise again. Eve got the apple, Adam got the core. Dem bones gonna rise again. I knowed it, knowed it. Indeed I knowed it, brother. I knowed it. Wee! Dem bones gonna rise again.
This happened yesterday at lunch. It's a real short story, but I don't know how many people here had lunch yesterday, but you'll remember going into the cafeteria, there was a superb selection of two meals. There was, on the one hand, egg foo young, which was eggs kind of wrapped up in some kind of syrupy, sloppy stuff, but I was in the mood for eggs. But on the other table, on the other plate, there was a muffin with some gooey, creamy chicken stuff on it. And what I wanted was the muffin and the eggs together. So I got up there and pushed my tray up there, and I said, I'd like to have one of those muffins and one of those eggs. She says, you can't do that. You got to have one or the other. You know the thing. I'm a little nervous. So I said, well, I really just want a muffin. So just give me a muffin by itself, and I'll go around and come back in. She scratched her head for a minute. She disappeared in the back room, and out came a big, tall fellow with a tie on. He came walking out there. He said, what's the problem? I said, I want a muffin, and I want an egg. He said, he looked at me. He says, no, we can't do that. So I was giving a juggling workshop this afternoon, and I was telling the guys that came for the juggling workshop that being a juggler does give you a kind of an advantage in life, because what I was trying to do was to juggle something here. So I said, well, how about if I got the muffin on the right side of the plate and the chicken on the left side of the plate, but don't let the chicken touch the muffin. He said, that'd be fine. So. I knew you had a story. I just knew it.
Well, you know, I kind of relate with your stories. I live here in Elkins, but I'm a forester, and I've lived in Idaho, northern Minnesota, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I helped on the cleanup of the hurricane blowdown in New England in 1938. So I've always been in the woods, and I relate to the kind of things you've been telling.
Great.
Actually, I'm originally a Missourian. I was up in Minnesota working, and I went to the logging camps to scale logs. And up in the area where I was working, it was primarily second generation Finlanders. And I soon learned that when I went into the camp, first thing I did was go to the cook shack and get a piece of that old hard toast and a cup of coffee and have that before I would go out to do scaling of the logs. I went into Wayne Nurmi's camp one day, and Mrs. Nurmi was the cook. And she was baking bread, and I went over and got my piece of toast and my cup of coffee and sat down. And she'd just opened the door of the oven to look at the bread, and she says, where are you from? And I says, oh, well, I'm an Ozark hillbilly. And she got up from the oven and took two or three steps toward me, and she says, you know, I've heard of those, but never seen one before. But back in 35, that real hot summer where it was over 100 day after day, and we were surveying and cruising for purchase of land for the new national forest there. And I was running the compass, and had a chainman who behind me was calling out the trees, and I was tallying. You know, sometimes the brush gets so thick down there, I know you all know those chains we pulled to measure with. The brush was so thick, I had to pull and he had to push it to get through that brush. But this hot day, I come to the end of my line of sight. And I just put the Jake staff in the ground and we're gonna take another line of sight up here. And I took that compass out of the case, set it up on the staff. I lifted the front sight and I lifted the back sight, taking my time, trying to cool off just a little bit. Loosened the screw so the needle was free. I just sat there trying to orient that thing. And I finally leaned over and looked in that back sight. That compass sights are about 6 inches apart. I looked through that backside, and hanging down out of that tree in front of me with its eye up against the front sight looking back was a snake. I've got that standing back jump record. Yeah, but... Well, it was just a blue racer, and I chased it off. But these kind of experiences got me interested in animals, strange animals. And so I've been telling stories about the strange animals I've known. And I think it probably was told on some deacon's bench in some logging camp someplace. About the Zigmaw. Who knows about the Zigmaw? Zigmaw is just a small little animal who crawled around on the ground. But he had the skin between his front legs and his back legs like a flying squirrel. But he had a real long tail. And on the end of his tail, he had a rubber maul. And his means of locomotion was to go in these clear-cut areas. He'd back up to a stump, and he'd swing that tail around, and whoop, down onto a stump, and he'd bounce way up there. Then he'd spread those legs and go sailing off. But they'd never been able to catch one of these things, and the flunky come out of the cook shack one day, and there was one of those Zigmaws over there, and he was backing up to that stump, and he was going to take off. Flunky real quick grabbed an axe and slipped up, and about the time the maul was going to go down onto that stump, whack, cut the maul off the end of that fella's tail. And you know what he did then? He went over and he carved some heels that he tacked onto his shoes. The first rubber heels. That was the invention of the rubber heel. He got up on the cook shack and he jumped off and he started bouncing. And he bounced and he bounced. And he bounced out there for 3 days. And they come out and bang, bang, they fed him soup with a shotgun for 3 days before he went out of sight.
Anybody else got one they want to tell?
Well, I think this is a true story, but it's sometimes hard to tell. I had a good friend, his name was Peter, and he was known mainly for his playing. He liked to play mountain dulcimer and hammer dulcimer. But he's been getting his degree in folklore. And so he was out looking for this particular version of a ballad. And it had almost disappeared. He had heard that there was this very old Indian up in the area that he felt might just know this ballad. The guy was reputed to have quite a good memory. And being as old as he was and remembering all this stuff, he figured he would go and make a try. So he asked about it and lived in a pretty remote area. And he took him a lot longer to get to the base of the mountain than he expected, because the roads weren't very good there. And there were some Indians still camped at the bottom, and he asked about this guy, and they said, well, we think he's still up there, but he's pretty much a hermit, doesn't come down. We haven't seen him for years. So he started making his way up the mountain there, and there was this very, very old Indian sitting in front of the teepee there, and wasn't moving at all. So he very cautiously came up, put his right hand up, and he said, how? And the Indian came back, how? And he talked to him a little bit, and he said, I heard that you have a very good memory. And the Indian said, that is true. And so my friend Peter, he was overjoyed to hear this, because he had also heard that this guy had used to sing ballads a long time ago. And he figured he'd better test his memory. So he asked the guy, he said, well, back on Thursday, July 1st, in 1904, what did you have for breakfast? And without any hesitation at all, the Indian came right up there. And he said, eggs. This is amazing. And he started talking a little bit, trying to get the guy's attention and so forth. And he noticed it was getting very dark, so he had to go back down the hill. And he had a little accident near the bottom, and it took him a while to recover, so it was several months before he could get back. He asked again, and the Indians at the bottom said, no, nobody's even been up to see him since you were last up. He made his way up again with a little bit of trepidation. And he saw the Indian look like he hadn't moved a bit since he'd seen him several months back. And he went up to him and said, how? And immediately the Indian came back and he said, scramble.
Oh.
Anybody else? Well, thanks an awful lot for coming.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Where in the Adirondacks did you say you live?
Well, the closest town that I can tell you that you know is probably Pottsville.
Oh, okay. Because we just spent a couple of weeks just walking.